Good morning, it's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Good to have you with us. You've been hearing throughout the morning about the tragedy that took place in Benghazi, Tripoli, where four Americans at the embassy were killed, including the U.S. ambassador to Libya, who was visiting the facility in Benghazi. Joining us from Foreign Policy Magazine and its Democracy Lab website is editor Christian Carl. Thank you very much for being with us today.
It's my pleasure.
So what is understood about the individuals who carried out this attack, and is it clear that it was really about this film that was made to mock Islam?
Well, that's an excellent question. A lot of us are still trying to figure out exactly what happened in Benghazi last night. One thing that is clear is that there does seem to have been a protest at the consulate by people who were opposed to the film. Now, the part we're trying to unravel is precisely who those people were and what relation they had to the people who actually fired the rocket-propelled grenade that set the consulate building or the location of the U.S. ambassador on fire. My sources tell me, with pretty reliable sourcing, I would say, that one of the groups present at this protest was something called the Ansar al-Sharia, which is a so-called Salafi group, a group of ultra-conservative Islamists who in Libya have lately been seizing any opportunity they can get to showcase their Islamic credentials. So I feel pretty comfortable in saying that those folks were there. Whether there were other groups there, you know, is entirely possible, but that's what I've got for you at the moment.
So then the question is this Salafist group one that's separate and apart from the protesters who turned out at the embassy in Benghazi and used that as a cover for carrying out the attack, or are the individuals who were there essentially all related to the same group?
Well, that's what we're trying to figure out right now. That's the key question. I personally think it's entirely possible that the Ansar al-Sharia Salafist group were also responsible for the attack, but we don't know that for sure. We're getting these other reports, which I'm sure you've heard about, that the protest that took place at the consulate may have actually been a cover for an attack staged by other people. And one group that's been named is the Omar Abdul Rahman Brigades, which is named after an imprisoned Islamist cleric who is very near and dear to the hearts of the people in Al-Qaeda. So that's another theory that we're hearing right now, that an Al-Qaeda-affiliated group might have used this protest as cover for an attack on the embassy. And even the U.S. government now is saying they think there might have been a planned attack. But I'm waiting to see what sources they have for that information, because the only part that's reached the public sphere right now isn't really very illuminating. I'm not so sure what their reasons for saying that they thought there was a planned attack there are.
Secretary of State Clinton, in her comments this morning from Washington, mentioned the significance of September 11th to people around the world. Is the U.S. government looking at the possibility that this attack was planned related to September 11th?
I think they are. And I also heard indications in Egypt that there was some kind of foreknowledge, or that there were certain inklings that there might be some kind of big demonstration at the embassy in Cairo on the day of September 11th, which is exactly what happened. And because of that, I think it's even more questionable that the Egyptian authorities didn't seem to have very good security around the embassy at the time. That's another one of the big questions we're trying to resolve as we sort through all of these events from yesterday, because the U.S. embassy in Cairo is the second largest U.S. embassy in the world. It's a fortress. It's an absolutely unassailable building. And so a lot of us have been asking, wait, how did these protesters scale the walls and get in and manage to grab the American flag and haul it down? At minimum, it seems that the Egyptian government was not protecting the building as well as it usually does.
Well, and then the question is, what about the vulnerability at other American embassies or diplomatic facilities, not even at the stature of an embassy around the world? And we understand additional security is being sent to many of these places, but that's presumably going to take some time to get there.
Exactly. Yes, we have these reports from the Pentagon that they've dispatched an additional 50 Marines to guard some of these embassies. And, you know, that just highlights the fact that when you're guarding an embassy, there's really only so much you can do. You're really very dependent on the host government for proper security. You know, even at the embassy in Cairo, I suspect we probably didn't have more than a handful of Marine guards guarding that building. If the host government isn't going to help you protect your building, you know, it's going to be a little tough. I'm sure that there were heightened security procedures in place for U.S. embassies all over the world yesterday, you know, in awareness of that particular day of commemoration. But still, you know, it's always a tall order to ensure proper security for an embassy if there's an angry mob of people outside who want to storm it.
I want to ask you, Christian, about what we're hearing from the Egyptian and Libyan governments in response to this. Are they denouncing the people who turned violent at both the Cairo and Benghazi embassies, and have they committed that their government forces are going to do more?
That's another excellent question. According to the last I heard, the Libyan authorities have issued quite a strong statement saying that they are going to do everything in their power to find the people responsible for the attack and prosecute them. And they gave a very, very reassuring statement that showed that they felt responsibility for what happened and that they regretted it greatly. And I should add, by the way, in contrast to the situation in Egypt, there were Libyan security forces at the consulate in Benghazi, and they apparently fought the attackers and had to withdraw at one point because they were outgunned. So the Libyans, in this respect, have actually, ironically, considering what happened, made a better show of it. The Egyptian president, Mohamed Morsi, of the Muslim Brotherhood, has been kind of conspicuous by his absence over the past few hours. We really have not heard much from him. His spokesperson issued a statement that was a lot more about this silly film, this anti-Mohammed film that apparently provoked all of these protests. So we really haven't heard anything from the Egyptian government that had anything remotely like the clarity and pushback of the Libyan statement. So that's something we're going to be keeping an eye on over the next day or two.
Christian Carl of Foreign Policy's Democracy Lab website, thank you for being with us and describing the latest events in Libya and the response from the U.S. government. We appreciate it. A fast-moving story and obviously a lot of details to be coming out in the days to come. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Thank you. Christian Carl again of Foreign Policy. He edits the Democracy Lab website. I welcome